Good morning, everybody. We are starting a brand new series, and this series is going to be about your God-given rights that you may or may not know you have. Amen. Wouldn't you like to find out you had a little bit more, amen, benefits and rights from heaven that you didn't know you had? Amen. Well, you'll be surprised how many in Christendom are not aware of some of the benefits they're missing out on and the rights that they have as sons and daughters and children of the kingdom. And we're going to talk about that the next 5 weeks. Amen. We want to make sure we get this and we're encouraging other people with it. And so because you are a special person, because you're special to God, it's important to God's plan that you just realize that so that you can, amen, step into that role and enjoy the best that God has to offer. And so of all of God's creation, we have to remember this. He has chosen us, you and I, amen, to hold these benefits, amen, to utilize these God-given rights to propagate and to fulfill his purpose, amen. And these rights work to our advantage when we, amen, agree with him and we begin to utilize them in our lives. We begin to accomplish God's will. And that's rewarding, by the way, if you don't know that today. Amen. Accomplishing God's plan for you today, it just helps you sleep better at night. Amen. If you're having a problem sleeping, just tune in for station identification. Host the presence of God, and you'll be surprised how much better you'll sleep, how much better your relationships will be. Amen. Marriages get healed when God is hosted in those relationships. According to God, citizens enjoy rights that non-citizens can't. Man, you just look at our political climate right now in America as it relates to citizenship versus non-citizenship. It's a very significant conversation, but it's significant when you look at it from heaven's lens. All it takes to be a citizen of the kingdom of God is to believe, amen, to accept him, to let him be Lord in your life. Everybody is a citizen from his lens. It's just that few actually accept their role as citizens in God's kingdom. He's already paid the debt off. Amen? And so it's not no hard process. Amen? You and I can today make a decision to be God's kids, to be God's son and daughter. And when you join with the kingdom of God, special rights come with your decision, your agreement. That emphatic amen in your spirit saying that, you know, I'm on board, Lord, let's do this. I'm walking with you. Empowers you to be who God says you are. It empowers you to be free instead of in bondage. It empowers you to be blessed instead of cursed. Anybody like blessing over cursing? Amen. It empowers you to enjoy health instead of sickness. And so we ask a question today. Do you realize you have the right to give away what you have received? Do you realize that? Now, I've noticed in my own life that when I truly appreciate something that I have, amen, I want others to enjoy it and have it. Amen. If I've got something in my possession that I'm having fun with, well, I want everybody else to have fun too. Amen. That's the God nature in all of us. And for the next 5 weeks, we'll be talking about this aspect of your DNA and what God has put into your possession, in your power, amen, to represent him on behalf of his kingdom. And so in Psalms 103, that'll be our scripture text, and we'll refer to it through this series. Amen. In verse 1, and this version is powerful. Oh, my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins, everyone. He heals your diseases, everyone. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. Amen. That's how good our daddy is. Notice this. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. Does anybody want to host the presence of God today? Amen. When you host his presence, the real you shows up, and he sees you as who you really are. Amen. And so God does that for each one of us if we'll allow him and receive it. In God's presence, I want you to get this. In his presence, everybody knows they are forgiven. In God's presence, you don't guess. You know that you're forgiven. Amen? And we're talking about forgiveness today. This is the first thing that you need to realize is a benefit, and not only a benefit, but it's your right when you receive it to give it to somebody else. Amen? You've been given that right to have dominion over any spirit, amen, that facilitates unforgiveness, offense, amen, breakdowns in relationship. You have the right to tread on that darkness. Amen? And the enemy does not want you to get that. So there's three things that happens in God's presence that all of us, as his choice of all creation, he chose you to be his temple. You're the temple of his Holy Spirit. And he's king of his kingdom that's within you for you to have dominion in this earth. And from you, he's able to express his nature. He's able to love on somebody. Amen? And so, number one thing that we want to talk about that happens in God's presence as it relates to forgiveness is he removes all transgression. In his presence, all transgression's gone. Amen? He removed it 2,000 years ago on the cross. But when I accept it, when I receive it, is when I receive his spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to live over condemnation, you want to live over guilt, you want to live over the frustration of all the pain that goes on in the life of soap operas? Amen? Step into the presence of God. And you don't have to put up with that darkness no more. You become a light. Amen. Let your light so shine. Amen. So in Psalms 103 and 10, it reads this way as we continue in that same passage. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. And he ain't beating up on nobody. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, we're talking about iniquity and transgression here. Both of them are sin, but there's a distinct difference in their relationship to one another. It's very important that we as benefactors of God's forgiveness understand this. So when I talk about iniquity today, and I'll bring it up a few times, amen, as I bring this to a close in a little bit. Iniquity is inward motivation that drives us towards sin. Amen. It's inward motivation. It's the attitude at work. It's those desires that the enemy can call up. Amen. Because we get in agreement with his lies. That's iniquity at work. But transgression is the outward movement in sin. Amen. Or towards sin as well. Transgression is better described in our English language as the word trespass. Amen. Anybody understand? You ever seen them trespass signs? Cross over one of those signs onto the wrong property, and potentially you will get in trouble if you get caught, right? When you trespass, it's because you've stepped over a boundary. Amen. Iniquity works in the heart. It's an attitude. Amen. Transgression is the hand, the action. Let me say it this way. Iniquity is the lust. Transgression is the adultery. Iniquity is the hate. Murder is the transgression. Are you following me? Are you getting it? It's important that we understand this. Both are sin. Jesus dealt with the religious group that were teaching. This is what the religious group taught when Jesus was on the scene. They were teaching, as long as you haven't transgressed, you haven't sinned. But Jesus said, let me tell you the truth here. He said, the law says not to transgress or commit adultery. He said, I say to you, if you lust in your heart, you've already committed the adultery or the transgression. You know, he says, if there's hate in your heart, you've already murdered. And that's what Jesus came to teach. Iniquity and transgression, they work together to accomplish a goal. And the enemy is working with iniquity in our heart. He wants us to live. And we sometimes think that's us thinking up that stuff. And that's the enemy at work trying to get us to agree with, this is who we really are. This is why this desire is there. I'm going to yield to this because that must be who I am. And we've agreed with him instead of agreeing with who God says we are. So Jesus is letting his followers know that iniquity is sin also. Iniquity is the same as inequity, or iniquity is when one is not equitable or equal with God's holiness. Amen? A thought process that's just kind of generated in your spirit and you just stay with it. Anything that does not equal God's holiness is iniquity. It's inequitable. Paul said, whatever things are just, pure, just, honest, and of a good report, think on these things. He's telling the Philippian church to do that. Guard your mind. Amen. Make sure that what you're thinking on is in agreement with how, put on the mind of Christ, what Christ would be thinking. Amen. And then your true identity will come to the surface. Amen. Holiness is at work instead of iniquity. Amen. You see how it's tied in? If we're thinking the wrong thoughts, iniquity goes to work, and then all of a sudden we become and we begin to act out what we're thinking about or what our mind is on, our attitude is toward. But when we think about those things which are true, just, honest, and pure, because truth will make you free, amen, all of a sudden holiness is at work. He's on the throne. God's on his throne in your heart. And the next thing you know, you're becoming sons and daughters. And you're manifest, and you get fulfillment. You sleep better at night. Your marriage is healed. I mean, all kinds of stuff begins to happen because we're in agreement. We're living out our true identity instead of being frustrated because we are thinking that, no, I'm a murderer. That's why I hate like I do. Or I'm an adulterer. That's why I think like I do. Isaiah spells it out for us this way about what Jesus did on our behalf in Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was pierced outside for our transgressions. Come on. He was crushed on the inside for our iniquities. Y'all getting this? He took care of every bit of anything that the enemy could work inside you to make you deny your true identity. Jesus paid the debt off so you could accept who you really are and walk with him. Amen? So the good news is God has removed our transgressions. Scripture indicates he's done it as far as the east is from the west. Infinitely. There's no end to how far he's put our sins and our transgressions from him. God completely does away with all of our sins and transgressions. And he did that 2,000 years ago. But you don't understand, Pastor, I repented and I went back and did the same thing over again. Yeah, he paid for that too. He took care of that too. Because, sooner or later, we're actually going to, instead of trying to do it ourselves and trying to be good on our own, we're going to actually step into his spirit empowerment and let him do what only he can do. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain, right? And so we need his presence. We need his empowering presence to finish what he starts in our life. Amen? And so in our culture, in our world right now, our minds have been conditioned to religiously think that God has this big file cabinet in heaven with all of our transgressions filed away, right? God is keeping record of every time we've asked him for forgiveness. And I went over my allotted amount. And in our culture, our mind has been conditioned because we're religious in our culture. I didn't say we were godly in our culture. We're religious. And so just because I know our culture is bent this way, we've got a little video that the media department put together for me. Pay attention to this little video.
Murray, what is this? How do you know my father, and how'd you get my pager number?
Oh, I know quite a lot about you, Bruce. Just about everything there is to know. Everything you've ever said or done or thought about doing, right there in that file cabinet.
Wow, a whole drawer just for me.
Yeah. Mind if I take a look?
Sure, like.
This ought to be good.
Now, this last entry was a little disturbing. Gloves are off, God. God has taken my bird and my bush. God is a mean kid with a magnifying glass. Smite me, O mighty smiter.
So what has the enemy convinced you is in your file? Let me help you today. If there was a whiteboard in heaven and God was actually keeping a tally of every time you messed up, 2,000 years ago, when he shed his blood, he washed that whiteboard completely clean. It don't exist. He can't see through his own blood. There's a cleaning agent in his blood that doesn't allow your life to be written on again. Now, I just want to tell you something. The devil's powerful now, isn't he? He's manipulative, and you can't compete with that lying dude. He'll talk you down. He'll talk you into agreeing with something that has nothing to do, amen, with how God says you are. And you'll get there agreeing, and because he can, once you start thinking about something, your old fallen nature, it'll start thinking, well, yeah, and then all of a sudden that evil desire comes up. Instead of you, amen, spending time with God, thinking on those things that are true, just, honest, pure, and a good report, you're thinking on all the other stuff. And next thing you know, you're acting it out, and you're thinking, oh, my God, I dropped the ball again. That's just who I am. And the enemy knows that that's the only way he can take the authority and power that God has given to you, is your right to use and have dominion from you, is to get you to start thinking that, you know, I've been a bad little girl, I've been a bad little boy, and I deserve what I'm getting. And God's got me nailed to rights now. Amen? But hear me. This is why God totally dealt with our sins at the cross. And at the cross, he depicts what love is all about. Amen? And so I want to go into the second thing that happens when we entertain the presence of God. Amen. And while I'm talking to you today about the presence of God, would you entertain it while I'm talking to you? Just entertain the fact that you're loved, that you're special. Just entertain the idea that God actually wants to be with you more than you want him to be with you. And everybody here wants God to be with them. I know we're here because we need God in our life. But the enemy is working overtime to make you doubt that. But just entertain it, and you'll be surprised how quick he will come. And you'll start, oh, man, you'll start weeping. Next thing you know, you might be on your knees, and it's okay. It's okay if you're praying in the Spirit. It's okay. Man, the second thing that happens in God's presence is he remembers our sin no more. All iniquity, all transgression is done away with, number one. But he don't remember it no more. Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blots out. I'll wash your whiteboard. I washed it up. Your transgressions for my own sake. And remembers your sin no more. Now, in your Bible, you might want to underline for my own sake. Well, God is so in love with you. For his own sake, he wants to forgive you. He's so into you for his own sake, he can't see you no other way. And I'm a parent. Me and my wife, we how many times we forgive our kids? And it's for our own sake. We release them. We let them, because we love our kids so much. For our own sake, we forgive them. We release them because we love them. Now, if me and my wife are good parents that way, and we do that, how much more does our Heavenly Father want us to know how much he loves us? And there's more of him to receive. There's nothing you can do today that'll cause him to stop loving you. Nothing. And there's been some pretty messed up events in life where people have been used by the enemy to do inexplicable. We can't even talk about things. And God never stopped loving those people. Can his cross save them too? Amen. And so God made a conscious choice not to remember your sins. He made a conscious decision. Hebrews 8 and 12 says, "For I would rather forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." The word remember means to recall, to bring something up for use. Now, I've been watching my wife, you know, as she goes to school at 50. Now I'm at 29, holding it. And I've watched her work hard to make sure she could remember or bring up when necessary on the test the questions are requiring her to remember something. And she's doing very well, by the way. Very surprised. No, she's a smart girl. She picked out a good guy. She's doing excellent. But you've been on in a test and you needed to recall an answer to a question that you had to give an answer to, right? I heard someone, you know, somebody say that, you know, the older I get, I really believe in the hereafter. I went into another room the other day and I couldn't remember what I was hereafter for. I hope that when I go to the next room, I can remember what I'm there after. God has chosen not to bring up your past again. He chooses not to remember. He's not interested in trying to recall something wrong in relationship to your past. He wants you to think about something, but it's not iniquity that he wants you thinking about. Let me better say it this way. If you get reminded of something that you did in your past, God didn't remind you. If all of a sudden you're thinking about how you've done something stupid when you're driving down the road and you're thinking, you dummy, God's not the one telling you that. The devil is. He's the accuser of the brothers and the sisters, right? So this is who God is. And this is how he designed us to be. In 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Everybody knows the love chapter here. Reading from the New Living Translation here, it says, "Love does not demand its own way," in verse 4. "It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged." That's what love does. And we know God is, and he's called us to be his representatives, right, in the earth. In the NIV, it says it this way, "Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs." Now, I just want to challenge you here for a moment. Offense in my life is evidence of immaturity in my life. It reveals childishness in me. Amen. I've been offended more than I want to talk about. And every time I was offended with whoever, I was offended with what God was in love with. And how is it that he can love what I'm offended with and he be okay with my offense? And in the first place, how did I get offended? Because there was something that worked in my heart that was not truth. Amen? Goes on to say in verse 11, same chapter, "When I was a child, I talked like a child." Anybody see a kid that wants to have their way and they make it miserable for everybody? "I thought like a child." I want to have my way. Bless God, you're making me mad. You're giving me a bad day. "I reasoned like a child, but when I become a man, when I become a mature, I put the ways of childhood behind me." Amen? How do we do that? That's why this message today is so impactful for all of us. Amen? We grow in his presence. Amen? And as I grow in his presence, the more I believe that God has forgiven me and he chooses not to remember my sins, guess what happens? I get to forgive others. And I can choose, too, not to remember their flaws. Amen? This is huge. This is important for all of us. This is what sets the kingdom of God stage up in our hearts so that we can accomplish the commission that Jesus gave us to heal, to cleanse, to raise, to exercise dominion. So why is forgiveness so important in God's plan? Why does he need us to get the revelation of receiving it so that we can give it? What is Jesus asking us to accomplish for him? Matthew 10 and 7 kind of says it all in one nutshell here. He says that, and he's talking to his followers. This is, by the way, anybody here a follower of Christ? So the same message he gives to the followers when he's in flesh, since he don't change, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? It's the same message we're to get, right? Matthew 10, 7, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Why? Freely you have received. Freely give. So the moment that you and I have allowed his spirit to take over lordship in our life and we've received forgiveness, all of a sudden now we are able to be who we're designed to be. Amen? As children of God, we have the right and the authority to release to others what we have received. And he gave it to us for free. We didn't deserve it. And we got it because we made the conscious decision to feel after him and host his presence. Wow. 2 Corinthians 5:19, for God was in Christ, get this, reconciling the world to himself. Pause. God was in Christ. The Spirit of God housed the body of the walking in flesh Christ, right? The way it's said like that is because you got to get the next point. And as God is in Christ, he no longer counts people's sins against them. And there was a lot of people doing stupid when he was walking on the face of the earth, right? Notice this. He gives us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Now, if any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, they are a new creature. Who are we now? We're God's representatives. To do what? To carry the ministry of reconciliation. We're not here to remind people of their failure. We're here to let people know there's a better way and you're special to God. Amen. You don't have to live down and out. You can live, amen, with excitement, full of joy, and full of peace. So who brings up this iniquity and sin? The devil. Satan himself. He loves to bring up our failures. He'll even make you think that you're the one who thought of it. Right? He'll try to get you to attempt to fix it too, won't he? Anybody try to make yourself better? Dude, I was considering my stupidity in life, and I made my mind up today I'm going to be a better person. I know we've all tried it. It'll beat you up. You can't make yourself better. But the enemy knows as long as he can keep you attempting to, he can utilize all your authority and power and hold you in prison while he does it, uses it for his kingdom. And also, he'll bring up your sin to other people so that they'll remind you of it too. And next thing you know, you're thinking, well, so-and-so said that and reminded me of my flaw and I've messed up. Man, and you're offended with them. And the Lord said, time out. Will you pay attention to me? Listen, it's not them. That was the enemy speaking through them. Yeah, they were letting iniquity work. And yeah, they yielded to the transgression and crossed the line and said it. But now you get to be a demonstration. It's an opportunity when you're faced with offense that God, there's a miracle in the making. Anytime you're thinking about how messed up you are, there's a miracle close by. Hold on. Amen. Change your thinking. Oh, shift over here to what's the Lord saying. Anytime you get offended, all of a sudden you get offended, there's a miracle close by. The offense is only there to stop you from being God's representative. So every time somebody says something bad about you, it's an opportunity to say, man, God's so good. Hey, thank you, Jesus. You just showed me how I can represent reconciliation, and I can bless instead of curse. Amen? And when I counsel with people, I make it a point to encourage them It's a point of interest in every council session. Encourage everybody I counsel with to stop bringing up past iniquities, past sins. Especially important with married couples. When there's marriage counseling going on, it's at our sins, it's at our iniquities that our relationship stops moving forward. Yeah, we've all messed up. And if there's one feeling like they messed up more than the other, that's the enemy too. Nobody deserves God's grace. Everybody deserves to go to the same level of burning. Is that okay? That fallen nature, it's over with. But we need Jesus. And Jesus' grace covers a multitude of sins, regardless of how we measure whose sin's greater than the other. That's not the point. The point is he died for me, and he loved me, and he shed his blood for me, and I can live life and have life more abundantly today. It's up to me to receive it. Amen. Remembering, talking about each other's sin is as devilish and as wicked as one can be. Why? Because the only one talking about is the accuser of the brethren. He's the devil. And if I join in with him, I've revealed out who my master is. Remember when Jesus addressed the religious group, he wasn't beating them up. He was letting them know, hey, oh, you're beat up. You're beat up and you're beating up the people. He said, the works you do, amen, is of your father, the devil. And basically, when you look at it from God's lens, he's saying, you've taken ownership of all this goofy stuff in your life, and it belongs to the, it don't even belong to you. Well, if everything that I do that's wrong in my life belongs to the devil, then everything that good happens in me belongs to who? God. Oh, really? So why take credit for the evil when I can't even take credit for the good? And so the enemy will make you work overtime trying to be good and hold you captive, measuring everything from your logic on what equals good versus evil. And you live a life of measurement, which is prison. God's saying, won't you just have fellowship with me? Host my presence. I'm fixing to show you what you've never seen before. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to let you know that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you are forgiven. And the more you know that you're forgiven, the more you'll forgive. I don't know about y'all, but this is a good word today for all of us. Amen. God chooses not to remember. He chooses not to remember your sins. God wants you to know that you can be like him and choose not to bring up your sins and anyone else's sin too. Amen. I was telling the first group today that the memory of men and women, I don't know it for a fact, but I think men lose their memory when they sleep. And the ladies, I encourage you to, on your way home, to ask your husband, you're going home, what did you do yesterday? And I promise you, he'll go. But you ask a lady that, and they'll just, right off the bat, they'll tell you everything they was doing and tell you what you was doing and how you was doing it wrong and your attitude and everything. As male and female, we come from God. I think the women got all the knowledge and the men got this opportunity to forget. That's not good theology. Just seems that way sometimes. Closing with this thought. Third thing that happens in God's presence is he releases us from our iniquity. Forgive means to release. To release from a debt. The debt is gone. The reason it is gone, because it's paid off. And God will never, he can't charge twice for the same sin. He won't do it. And so because iniquity is an inward sin in us, if we sat down and we was to have a discussion and I could tell you the inward bent towards sin that has been in my life and how the what's of how I easily gave into it, we'd often have this tendency to excuse our sin and iniquity as saying stuff like this, well, that's the way I've always been. Anybody ever said that before? Well, that's just who I am. Your iniquity may be different than my iniquity. The real problem is that the enemy, the devil, is wanting to convince us that we're always going to have that weakness. The good news is that I'm trying to tell you today, that I'm trying to get across to your spirit, is that when you choose to follow Jesus, you are released. You don't understand, Pastor. I've always had that inward bent towards lust. No, Satan told you that. Amen. Hear me. You're released. Amen. 2,000 years ago, God, time don't box him in. He died for every sin before you ever committed it, and every sin you will commit. Amen. You're released. I've always had this bent towards anger, and I fly off at a handle. No, that's what the devil tells you. You're released. That's not who you are. Some of you are inwardly saying right now, what gives you, Pastor, the authority to tell me I'm released? I'm glad you asked. Jesus himself tells me and tells you that we have that authority. And he commands us to utilize it. Let's go to John 20:23. Amen. Oh, just bear with me just a few more moments. John 20:23. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, in context with what Jesus is talking about here, he just come out of the grave. He's spending 40 days with his boys, teaching them what they should teach and do. Amen. And he's making an emphasis for them to join in with him on the Great Commission. And he tells them to preach the gospel. He's telling them to tell people that they are forgiven, that they've been released because of what he did on the cross. Did you know the Great Commission is for us to be witnesses, to make disciples and baptize them? Did y'all know that? And that as a Jesus measurable, he's empowered us to have dominion. And in this, if we believe, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. Amen. Because we're in Christ, we're a new creature, we cast out devils in his name. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. You have been given the power and the authority to be his representative. And every time you preach the good news and you tell them about how much God loves them and that they don't have to live down and out, what you're doing is you're mediating because you're in Christ. Amen. You're in Christ. You're a new creature. You're actually mediating people to God. And you didn't die for nobody. He did. But we're in him. And we found our identity in Christ. And now we're called by his name. You're a powerful person, but the enemy ain't telling you you're called by his name. The enemy's not telling you you can go encourage someone else and actually have authority, amen, to encourage them to get up. You don't have to stay down. You can live again. Tell people, this is what Jesus is saying to us, that, amen, that they can believe in me. I'm their Savior. They are released. But I'm not going to do that unless I know I'm released. And I'm not going to know that I'm released until I host the presence of God. Until I make up in my mind, I'm not going to let this darkness keep clouding over me. Amen. Men, if you got to go to the woods and take a walk with God through the woods and get real with him, do it. Host the presence of God. You can do it here if you want to. Amen. Because this is where the people of God gather. We're talking about the presence of God. But I'm just telling you, we've got to make up in our mind, I'm not going to stay in the ditch. I'm coming out. Amen. I'm going to be who God says I am. And I need forgiveness. And not only do I need forgiveness, everybody I love needs forgiveness. And I'm going to start being God's, amen, representative. I'm going to declare it. Jesus has given you the right to tell people that they are forgiven. Why? Because Jesus has forgiven them. Encourage them to receive that gift. I'm here today to tell you that if you believe in Jesus, you are released. And that's good news. Amen. Peter denies Jesus while he's going through his cross experience. At a time when, you know, my friend, I would need my friend if I'm going to die for my friend. Peter is denying him. Anybody say that's uncool? That's uncool. But, you know, I've been uncool. Amen. I think we could all say, you know what, I've been uncool too. But as soon as Jesus comes out of the grave, he appears to a woman that most people would say, why did he appear to her first? Mary Magdalene, a lady of the streets that he personally delivered from seven demons. She gets to see Jesus first before anybody. To whom much has been forgiven, they love much, don't they? But this is what gets me. Peter denies Jesus, and he's hiding right now. But Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, he said, you find Peter, and you tell Peter, I need him. Now, I don't know if you're hearing me right now, but if you just pay attention a little bit, the Lord's trying to tell you, even though we've rejected him, and this is what gets me. Nobody goes to the bad place because of sin. Everybody goes to the bad place that goes there because they reject him. But I want to tell you something. If we'll receive him, he's trying to tell you today he needs you. And while the enemy's telling you, oh, you don't understand, you're not worthy. You've rejected him. You've denied him. You did this. You did that. How can you ever be anything for him? He don't want you. He is not screaming like the enemy screams all that stuff. But Jesus, in a still, small voice, he's saying, I need you. I need you. And every day, the mercies of the Lord are made new. And that is an evidence that he's saying, I need you. And we get up another day, and we start our day out. And the presence of God is there. And he's saying, I need you. And why does he need us? Because for his own sake, he's in so much in love with us. He chooses not to remember anything bad. He only remembers his purpose. And he looks through a lens with his blood over it. And he sees who you truly are. And right now, he needs you because he's in love with you. And not only that, if you'll come go with him, you'll find out his heartbeat for the person you're sitting next to. And the person behind you. And the person in front of you. And you'll start falling in love with what God's in love with. And the next thing you know, you're carrying this message of reconciliation for his sake. For his sake. He remembers our sin no more. In 1 Peter 4 and 8, this is why love and forgiveness is a powerful team, especially at building relationships. Verse 8, it says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. And so what is the Holy Spirit telling you right now about this message? If you'll accept your release from heaven, then you can release others. And you'll sleep so much better at night. Put it to the test and see if it don't work. And the simplicity of this is it's just simply hosting God's presence. Right now, as the Holy Spirit fell in Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, my goodness, and every time it fell, everybody was changed. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his presence, you can release others, and you can know that you're released.